Welcome to St. Louis on the Air. I'm Don Marsh. On today's program, we're going to help you with your summer reading list. This time of year, summer vacation time, is when a lot of people include a book bag with their vacation luggage. Ah, but what to read? We have some ideas for you. Joining me in studio are Shane Mullen, event host and reading group coordinator at Left Bank Books. Jennifer Alexander is collection development specialist for the St. Louis County Library. And Jennifer Oziork is the second floor manager with the St. Louis Public Library's Central Library. Thank you all so much for being with us.
Thank you.
Did you bring your book bags with you?
Uh-huh.
Yes. Okay. Shane, let me start with you. Do people read more this time of year or in the winter?
Definitely a lot more during this time of year. We sell more books during this time. Mm-hmm. I think people do stock up going into the winter. So like the fall season, people buy a ton of books and then they kind of have that stash to read all winter and they pick it up. But summer, people would just devour books. So I think that they are buying more and coming in more often and just enjoying everything about books in the summer more.
Jennifer Oziork, is there a favorite genre, do you think, for summertime reading?
You know, I think a lot of people like what we think of as beach reads, kind of family stories. Although I always think it's a great time to really get into trilogies or big books like Game of Thrones. I mean, what better time to just have an uninterrupted chunk to read those big books?
So, Jennifer Alexander, are we talking fiction, nonfiction?
I think that some people like to get into some big, meaty nonfiction book if you have a little bit more time. If you're going on vacation, bring one book rather than four. But, it's a good opportunity to try something new.
Right. A lot of traffic at libraries this time of year?
Always.
Yeah,
always.
Definitely.
Yeah.
And Shane, there must be at Left Bank Books.
Oh, yeah.
Books
we,
as well.
We have so much going on at the bookstore that it's just nonstop all the time.
Well, we want to get to your reading lists, and we also want to encourage our listeners to call in with some that they might have questions about. So let's get started. Jennifer Alexander, let's start with you.
Okay.
What is your on the top of your list?
The top of my list is local author Kevin Killeen's Most Improved Sophomore. This is a book that just came out. It's the fourth in a series of books that they're novels, but they draw heavily on his memories of growing up in Webster Groves in the 1960s and 70s. And the first one came out in 2012 with Never Hug a Nun, and it introduced the character of Patrick Cantwell, and he's sort of a lovable scamp, I guess. He's always getting into trouble. And the books are funny, and they're sweetly nostalgic, but in addition to that, they also are sort of poignant about the anxieties associated with growing up. And so I'm looking forward to reading this one because I think in addition to it being fun reading all the St. Louis stuff, he really captures something universal about growing up.
You realize, of course, he works for a competing radio station.
I considered that, and I knew that your professionalism would meant that that would be okay.
Well, I've read his book, and I've read all of them, and he's going to be on this program in the not-too-distant future.
Did you like the books?
Oh, yeah, I like them all.
Yeah.
I like Kevin. He's got a great sense of humor, and I lived for 30 years in the neighborhood that he's been writing about, so.
Oh,
there's
yeah.
that connection,
yeah.
that connection as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, but we're looking forward to talking mm-hmm. to Kevin. Shane, let me take the top of your list.
Sure. I'm going to start with a mystery. I think mysteries are my favorite beach reads. And I'm going to start with The Day I Died by Laurie Rader Day. She is an up-and-coming author out of Chicago. This is her first book with a major publisher, but she's won multiple awards, and including an Edgar and a Mary Higgins Clark. And I am actually a character in this book. So she named a character after me.
Wait a minute. How's that come about?
We hosted her for her first event way back – well, not way back in the day, but several years ago. And I thought the book was fantastic, The Black Hour. And we stayed in touch, became Facebook friends, and we have sold a lot of copies of that book. And she wanted to thank me and made me the – deputy sheriff in this book, and so it's really fantastic.
That's probably why it's doing so well.
Yeah.
And she recognizes that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, congratulations. Your posterity is being served by all of this. Great. Jennifer Oziork, how about your top list?
You know, it's always hard to narrow it down, but I would go for the trilogy of memoirs by Alexandra Fuller, who actually I had an opportunity to hear at County Library last year. She's amazing. Her first book is called Don't Let's Go to the Dogs Tonight and is about her childhood growing up in Rhodesia. And her parents are still alive. They're very unusual people, and her mother especially is kind of like a force of nature. And so the second book focuses more on the history of her mother. And then the third one kind of brings it around again to her as an adult. But they're transportive. They're so interesting and filled with detail. I felt like I was learning a lot, but I just love her writing. It just kind of takes me completely away from my own life and into hers. And then listening to her speak was just kind of amazing.
It is neat to meet the authors and have a chance to talk to them, find out what was rattling around inside that head as they were putting their stories together.
Definitely.
We should point out that we're talking about adult books today, and in a subsequent program we'll be talking about books for young readers, but adults today. Okay, back to Jennifer, the other Jennifer.
Okay. The second book I want to recommend is American Eclipse, The Nation's Epic Race to Catch the Shadow of the Moon and Win the Glory of the World by David Baron. And regular listeners will remember that you talked to him Friday?
Last Friday.
Yeah.
Right.
So, of course, we have the eclipse coming up on August 21st, and we're all excited. And this book is about the solar eclipse of 1878. And the author traces what scientists did at the time. Basically, it was a crucial moment at the development of science in the country, and several people wanted to capitalize on this opportunity for what they could see during the eclipse. And so it's just a really interesting book about that time period, and it also generates interest in the upcoming eclipse because he is so enthusiastic about it that it's just contagious. And that's kind of what I like about the book.
He is called an umbraphile. I think this is going to be his sixth or seventh total solar eclipse that he will have seen.
Yes, he's traveled outside the United States to see him because there hasn't been one in the United States for a long time. So he's been traveling to see him. And it's really infectious, his enthusiasm. So I like that.
And we should point out that Thomas Alva Edison plays a key role in that book, which is most interesting. And that if people want to see it here on the 21st of August, they're going to have to be pretty much south of Highway 44 to see it in its total path entirety, if you will. Okay. Well, I'm glad we have another one that's we promoted a little bit on this program. Great. Shane, back to you.
Okay. My next book is Beartown by Friedrich Bachmann. You probably will recognize the name Maine called Ouve, which was made into a film and is an international bestseller. This is his newest book, which is quite a bit different from his other novels. It's for people who don't mind crying on the beach. I like to describe it as Law & Order SVU meets Friday Night Lights, but with hockey. And as a non-sports enthusiast, I just don't care for sports that much. It was a little bit hard to convince me. I think if I hadn't read his other three, I wouldn't be as interested. But I think this might be his best work. It is really deep. It's a look at an entire town that has put all their hopes into this junior hockey team and how they think it's going to bring them back to this glory. And literally starts with a bang and doesn't stop the entire book.
And if you're going to be reading on the beach, why not read about a game played on the ice?
Right? Yes.
Yeah. Not bad. It's
definitely
perfect. Jennifer Ozark, back to you.
Well, you know, I'm going to go with kind of unusual heroine. The book is Eleanor Oliphant is Completely Fine by Gail Honeymoon. Oh, sorry, Honeyman. The main character is really unusual. She has a tendency to say whatever pops into her head, and she lives her life by set routines, and she's kind of rigid, and she meets somebody new at work, and she's thinking, well, I don't know, maybe he's okay. And they wind up going out to lunch and then helping a man who's fallen on the sidewalk. And from there, the new guy at work is determined to be friends with her, and it kind of breaks open her shell a little bit. And it's one of those books where the more you read, the more is revealed about the character, and it's kind of this unlayering and unwrapping, which is so interesting, and she's not always likable, and you don't always understand what she's doing, but I found her to be fascinating. And I'm going to give a second plug. If you like this book, Eggshells by Katriana Lally is absolutely fantastic. So both of those have unusual heroines in them.
Let me point out to our listeners that we'll have a listing of the books you're recommending on our website this afternoon. Hard to keep track of all of them. They're coming this quickly. Before we go back to Jennifer Alexander, we have a couple of emails here from folks with their recommendations. Lori emails that she loved the sci-fi graphic novel Shattered Warrior. Mm-hmm. Stayed up all night reading. Does that ring a bell with any of you guys?
It does with me. Yeah, I haven't gotten to it yet, but...
Well, she stayed up all night, and her husband found that totally irritating, she says, until he picked it up, and I guess did the same thing. And David on Facebook has written, this summer is spent reading board books to the baby, but last summer the summer read was The Girls by Emma Klein.
Oh, right.
That was really good.
So there's a recommendation that you're going to second. Okay, back to Jennifer Alexander. We'll get another of your recommendations.
Okay. Anything is Possible by Elizabeth Strout. Many readers first fell in love with Elizabeth Strout because of Olive Kittredge. It wasn't her first book, but that was the one that really made her super popular. And that was a collection of linked stories, a novel and stories. So they were separate, but they all had to do with this heroine, a kind of cranky heroine, like Jen mentioned. And it was great because she was a difficult person, but it was just a fantastic book. So this book is also 9 linked stories, and that sort of explores the world of a character in another one of her books, Lucy Barton. Last year's book that was My Name is Lucy Barton, and this book is from the perspective of several people in her childhood. So Elizabeth Strout often presents a sort of bleak picture. I mean, she's not shy about showing you the horrible things that people do to one another, but she also writes about compassion, and there's redemption in a generally dark field.
You know, I had the opportunity to interview her on stage at this county library a couple of weeks ago. I found her a little bit cranky, by the way.
maybe Olive Kittredge came from somewhere.
Maybe that's what happened. But her style is terrific because you really feel like you're eavesdropping, like you're at the window with your ear.
She's listening got a great ear for dialogue.
She really does. I recommend all of those books myself.
She's a compassionate person. She is not insulting her characters. She's got compassion for them.
Very easy. Easy to read. I've got to take a break. Let's do that now. We'll come back and continue with our other guests, and we'll do that after this break. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. Now back to our guests, Shane Mullen with Left Bank Books, Jennifer Alexander with the St. Louis County Library, and Jennifer Ozork is with the St. Louis Public Library Central Library. We're talking about preferred reading lists for our guests today for summer reading. If you have any you'd like to recommend, give us a call at 38255 send us an email to talk@stlpublicradio.org or tweet at STL on air. Caitlin on Facebook writes, Jesmyn's Broken Earth, N.K. Jemisin's Broken Earth series, new book coming out in August. Everybody's nodding. Another one that you're familiar with. Okay. Back to Shane now. Shane, what's next on your list?
I think the next one is probably my most beachy read, if you will.
That's beachy.
Beachy.
Oh, gotcha.
The Almost Sisters by Jocelyn Jackson. I got to have dinner with her. I thought she was absolutely fantastic. And the book is hilarious, but actually has like quite a bit to say about society and the South. It is the main character gets pregnant at a Comic-Con and doesn't know quite what to do with that. And the only thing she knows about the guy who has helped with this baby is that he was wearing a Batman costume. And so it's very funny, but you go into...
Sorry.
Unless you're the main character,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Her grandmother also was the matriarch of this town and has had an episode where she's having a mental issue and can't really withhold herself from telling the truth and makes announcements at church functions about who is sleeping with who. So it's a lighter situation with a lot of depth behind it. And I just thought it was absolutely hysterical.
Turning those pages quickly.
Mm-hmm.
That's always a good sign. Jennifer Ozark, we're back to you.
Well, just in time for maybe wedding season is People We Hate at the Wedding by Grant Ginder. I really, really liked this. It was fun. It's a lot of snarky humor. There's a little bit of bitter humor. Family relations, you have a brother and sister whose half-sister is absolutely lovely. Eloise is getting married in London. She's so nice. She's so wonderful. And isn't that annoying? And her siblings really don't like her. But they decide they're going to go to her wedding. And it's interesting. It's, you know, two people who are kind of really not very nice in how they relate to other people. And then they're going to go to this family event and deal with this, you know, person who's getting married and still continues to be very, very nice, despite the fact that they're kind of being awful. So by the end, are they all happy? I'm not going to tell you. But this is a fun book, definitely. Also good, I think, for the beach if you want to be laughing to yourself, maybe.
Well, we've already had one that has people crying, right?
Yeah.
So we got to leave them laughing, as we
exactly.
always say. Let me ask you guys, spending your days and evenings with books, what really makes a good book? Is it the story? Is it the character? Is it the pace? What do you think? Is there one that kind of outshines the other?
I think it's different for different readers, and it depends on what kind of mood you're in and what you're actually looking for from the book. I mean, people read to escape. People read to learn things. People read to learn about humanity. I mean, it's different things. And so the pace would be good for escape. Just a good story.
Right.
Shane, any thoughts on that?
I look for escape in my reading. And it depends vastly on, because the next one I'm going to talk about is because I read it was because I had to get away from the last book that I read. I needed the complete opposite. So,
yeah. Jennifer?
Yeah. You know, I personally, if the characters are interesting and the story is good, it keeps me reading. Pacing can go up and down. If I find a character boring or uninteresting, I just stop. But I like to be kind of transported, whether it's into something that I don't know anything about and I'm learning, or a completely different world, or just into lives that are nothing like mine. It's kind of nice.
We mentioned with Elizabeth Strout, Jennifer, we mentioned a dialogue, which, you know, that can really help things
right.
along.
When you read something and it rings true, where you say, oh, yes, this reveals something that I've seen before, you know, that helps.
Yeah, well, no doubt about that. What about selecting a book from an author that you don't know? I mean, you're looking for a couple of books for this summer. How do you decide? Do you have any tips for people to what to look for, whether it's the cover or the back cover or what have
you? Well, the risk is fairly low. I mean, what's the worst thing that's going to happen? You know,
you're going to spend $25 on a book.
Right.
Well, not at the libraries, of course.
Oh, I guess I was thinking that way. Yeah. But
sorry, Shane.
I don't know. I mean, some people feel like once you start a book that you have to finish it. But I think that if you're reading it and you realize that you're not interested in it, you could just put it down. But talk to people. Talk to people about what they like, and you kind of get a sense of what kind of books they like. And so then their recommendations can either be taken with a grain of salt or followed strictly.
Yeah. I asked that question because you have a tweet here from Heather who writes, looking forward to digging into Adriana Trigiani's, I hope I have that pronounced correctly, just out Kiss Carlo, and can't wait to hear her vibrant self share again at St. Louis County Library next month. I'm afraid I've never heard of Adriana, so I wouldn't know. You know, whether I want to pick up that
book. You can tell certain things from the cover, right? Mm.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely. There do seem to be trends. I think all of us would agree. You know, you can tell a thriller by looking at it. You can tell a romance usually by looking at it. Urban fantasy seems to follow certain, you know, kinds of art. I always say to people, just pick it up and look at the inside or the back cover to see what it's about.
Mm-hmm.
And if that sounds interesting, randomly open to a page and read a few sentences, because that kind of tells you if it's interesting to you.
You know, I can often find out with the first line. I mean, that should be one of the best lines in the book.
To really get you going.
Right.
Okay, where are we in the pecking order? Back to Jennifer?
I think it's me.
Yes,
yeah.
I think so.
Okay, so I wanted to pick a book that comments on, there's a recent surge in popularity of people reading classic dystopian novels. I'm sure you've seen this at the bookstore and at the library. So everyone's reading 1984, George Orwell's 1984, The Handmaid's Tale.
I wonder why.
Yeah. That's another show. Yeah. So, and It Can't Happen Here, Sinclair Lewis's book. So we're seeing a lot of that. And so I thought I would recommend my favorite grimly imagined future, or alternate present, I guess, is Never Let Me Go by Kazuo Ishiguro. Ishiguro is known mainly for, mostly for The Remains of the Day, which won the Man Booker Prize. His writing is very subtle. Some people say infuriatingly so. He just tells these quiet stories that just rattle around in your head and get you thinking. And this one is no exception. It's basically the story of three friends growing up in a boarding school and into their young adulthood. But what's different about them is that they have been cloned to basically serve as organ donors for people. And that's just the way things are in this society. And so that you've got living, talking, breathing, thinking, basically organ donors who have no control over their lives. And so it sounds really gruesome, but it's actually not focused at all on the science or the how did this happen or the protests against this. It just is about the human interactions with people who have no say over their lives. And so it's really interesting in that it just brings up the whole idea of one group of people subjugated to another, which isn't really a science fiction problem. Mm-hmm. It's just sort of a human problem.
You mentioned Orwell. Do any of you find that the people are going back to established authors of other generations, Hemingway, Fitzgerald, people like that, Faulkner? Much of that going on?
I think that's always going to be the case.
Yeah.
I think that everyone always has that list of the classics that they've never read that they feel like they are somehow supposed to read. And I went through a phase where I was like, oh, I missed out on all these classics and started reading them. And I was like, these are not for me.
But something made them endure, but they're not always for everybody. Okay, Shane, let's come back to you then.
I wanted to kind of take a little bit. My next book I found because of social media. And I know that Eleanor Oliphant is completely fine. I also found because of Reese Witherspoon, who I actually really like her book picks. That was on her list. This next one that I'm talking about is on Roxane Gay's list, who is going to be at the County Library coming up soon, called I'm Judging You by Lovie Ajayi. Ajayi, yes. And it is nonfiction. It is hilarious.
Oh, I remember that.
Yeah.
And she is awesome in person.
Yeah.
Sorry, just throwing
that out. I needed something completely different. I read The North Water by Ian McGuire, and it was so depressing
and
so dark.
Oh, good.
One of the most evil characters I've ever read in a book.
Okay.
But I needed the complete opposite. Uh-huh. So I picked up I'm Judging You because of Roxane Gay saying that it was hilarious and she will slap you around. And she does. And it is so much social commentary. And she talks about feminism, social justice. But she does it in such a hilarious way where it just makes you want to change yourself and be a better person all the while she's judging you. She is very clear about the fact that, nope, she is judging you if you do not change the things that you can change. So.
All right. Well, that's another one that gives you a laugh. That's good.
Yeah.
I'm going to take a quick phone call now before we get to the other Jennifer here. Anne in Kirkwood wants to chime in, so let's let her do so. Go ahead, Anne.
Hi. I'd like to recommend a book I just picked up by accident, and it's fabulous. It's about almost 600 pages, so I really have to like it. It centers around Venice, and it says it's called The Mirror Thief, and it's by Martin, I guess it's Say, S-E-A-Y. It goes from 17th century Venice, as I say, to the beat poets in Venice Beach, to the wars, and ties all these different characters in. It's, as I say, Dickensian, trying to keep track of them, but they're all so unpredictable and fascinating. that I strongly recommend it. And it's also full of historical details that I had never heard of.
Terrific. And thank you so much. Mirror Thief, is that the name?
Mm-hmm.
Excellent.
The Mirror Thief, yes.
Thank you. And Shane, you've read it?
I have not read it.
Well, you're familiar with it.
I think Mark, who is on staff, our science fiction author, I think he read it and loved it.
Do you guys read all the books that come into your place?
Oh, obviously, yes. Every single
one. That's what I thought.
That's what you do all day, right?
Yeah. Now that we've gotten that out of the way, let's go back to Jennifer's. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
My next book is actually not out yet. It's coming in July. I was able to read it already. It's called The Marriage Pact by Michelle Richmond, and I believe it's been picked up to be optioned into a movie. This is a psychological thriller. It has an absolutely relentless pace to it, and I like thrillers in the summer. I can pick up three or four of them and then just whip, whip, whip. There are two people, and they're kind of discovering just how far they're going to go to make their marriage work. At their wedding, somebody they don't really know very well gives them a gift of the pact. And they look at this contract and they say, well, it sounds good. You know, be nice to your spouse and get them gifts and go on trips. And they don't really read the fine print. And then they discover they've gotten in way over their heads. And the pact is this very tightly knit kind of secret group. And uh-oh, you've fallen out of line. What happens? Well, they're not really going to punish you. They do punish you, and it gets really serious really fast. And there were a couple of parts where I felt like, oh, this is so out of control. But I couldn't stop reading it. And you go all the way to the end, and it was just delicious because it just kept going and going and going, and the pace just continuously kind of amps up page by page, which I really like.
If you like thrillers, I'm going to be doing an onstage interview Saturday night at the County Library again with Janet Ivanovich, which is just, she's so prolific. It's hard to believe how productive she is. But her new book is Dangerous Minds, which is going to get a lot of action this summer.
Definitely.
7:00, County Library, Saturday night. Jennifer Alexander, back to you.
Okay. This was one of my favorite books of last year. It's called Speaking American, How Y'all, Yous, and You Guys Talk, A Visual Guide by Josh Katz. So what this is Josh Katz, I believe, was a PhD student in statistics, and he took a linguistic study, a very wide-ranging linguistic study, and then illustrates it into maps. He converted those into maps so that you could see where people say certain things. And so it basically shows regional accents and dialects and will chart where people say a particular word or phrase. So, for example, where do people say soda? Where do they say pop, coke, or soft drink? And it'll be shown on the map. And so you'll see a north-south divide and then different pockets throughout. And it's all kinds of different things, pronunciation.
And where they say farty and where they say 40.
Yeah, quarter. Quarter is in there. And so it's fun. And I think for traveling for the summer, that might be fun because see family in other places.
I'd love to get that author on this program. And they're fun interviews.
Yeah.
Shane, back to you. Time's winding down. We've got a couple of minutes left.
Okay. Then I think I'm going to go with I'm going to do two mysteries. One is out, one just out in paperback, and one that is out at the end of July. Arrowwood by Laura McHugh, is an author out of Columbia. She is another just absolutely fantastic author. We've done several events with her. And this one is set in southeastern Iowa, kind of my old stomping grounds, and is just great for lovers of true crime. And then The Lying Game, which is coming out soon, it's the new one by Ruth Ware. That is another really great, intense psychological mystery. Ruth Ware is, I think, the next Agatha Christie for closed room mysteries, where you don't know what happened, who did it. Like, you just have no idea, and you just keep turning the pages.
And are you trapped with the person?
I know.
That's so awesome.
Yeah, they're so creepy and so good.
Don't you love to get a book in your hands that you can't put down?
Yes.
I mean, boy, there's nothing better than that, really. Well, a few things I can think of, I guess, but it's one of the top five. Go ahead, Jennifer. You're up.
Last one for me is a trilogy, again. This is the Tierling Trilogy by Eriko Johansson, starting with The Queen of the Tierling. When you first start it, you think it's a typical fantasy book. You've got a young woman who is heir to a throne. There's a little bit of magic. She's been hidden away and now is claiming the throne, and her adversary is the Red Queen. And then there's this huge twist, which is actually that there was something in the past. So this is our future. It's like a future, but it feels like the Middle Ages. It's very, very cool.
Sounds it. Well, time is winding down. I want to thank you all for being with us. We'll have all of these books on our website. Thanks to Shane Mullen with Left Bank Books. Great to see you. Jennifer Alexander with the St. Louis County Library. Nice to see you. We'll see you Saturday night. And Jennifer Ozark with the Public Library, St. Louis Public Library at the Central Library. Thank you all so much. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU.